Genesis 24. You know, if you are a serious follower of Christ, and I assume that you are, or you wouldn't be here tonight. If you're a serious follower of Christ, you want to please him, then you are conscientious about knowing and doing the will of God. I think our text, Genesis 24, will be helpful to you tonight. Abraham's servant is seeking God's direction. And in this case, he's wanting to know God's will in choosing a bride for his master Abraham's son, Yitzhak, whom we call Isaac. However, whatever a dedicated follower of Christ desires to discern about God's will, you'll find this chapter very practical, very useful. The truth found in this narrative, I think, is about discovering God's will. And so that's what I want to use as our approach tonight as we look into these scriptures. Let's pause a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can go to your word and we can find timeless truth that gives us all that we need each day for each step. And Father, I pray tonight that as we look into this narrative, that you will give very practical, helpful instruction on how we as believers can not only discover, but can do the will of God. We'll thank you for that. And we pray that in the end, we'll please you and we will glorify you by walking in your will. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to look at the first two verses with me as we begin. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house, of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son, Isaac." One of the first things that I want to point out to you is the importance of discovering God's will. And I see that especially in these first two verses. He is described, that is Abraham, as old and well stricken in age. It implies that he is a person that is coming to the end of his earthly life, and he's lived a full life. In fact, it says also in that first verse that the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That is, literally in everything, God blessed this man. He blessed him with riches. He blessed him with longevity. He blessed him with honor. Yet Abraham lacked one covenant promise that God made to him early on. And that was that he would have a descendant through Isaac. And so he instructs his most trustworthy servant to, as the scripture says here in that second verse, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." That is a Hebrew idiom that refers to the reproductive areas, that really indicates a sacred oath pertaining to the reproduction of the covenant line of Abraham. And all of this, an important matter that necessitated an absolute assurance that God was guiding. And it really, I think, in some ways, could represent major decisions that believers need to make from time to time in their lives. Decisions like marriage, decisions regarding career, or maybe a change of career, decisions regarding our location or a relocation. And although it's true that small decisions that we make can lead to major issues, we have to be careful as believers to properly discern God's will, especially when it involves making major decisions in our lives and in our families' lives. I think a true follower of Christ will exercise great caution and make no major moves without a clear leading of God, without a knowledge that they are already moving within the will of God. This is, I think, the first point that we should draw from this incident. That is the importance of discovering and being assured of the will of God. The second point that I want to make is not importance, but now circumstance. I want you to look with me, because there are some very practical and logistical parts to knowing God's will. And there are two specific aspects of these circumstances that feed into God's will. And the first one I would call place, and the second one I would call time. The servant of Abraham, he follows a path in line with his master's desires. And it is expressed in that fourth verse that I think I've already read. Thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Very specific that the instruction the master gives to the servant here, that you are to plant yourself or place yourself in a specific location. And that's exactly what he did. You can drop down with me in verse 10. And it says that the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. Now, this is in the vicinity of Haran, where, remember, his father passed, and where he left to go into the land of Canaan. But anyway, the rest of his family is still there in that area. Here's my point. Discovering the will of God involves circumstance. And one important circumstance is place. And here he's following the master's instruction, and he is going to Abraham's relative's hometown, and he's planting himself in that hometown in a specific location. Look with me. Verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. So here's a place. Circumstance concerns a place. He goes to Abraham's relative's hometown, and he plants himself in a specific location, that is, at the town's water supply. And the reason he did that is because the women had a task every day, and that was to draw water. And the shepherds, of course, would draw water at that same well. And often young girls were shepherds. And they were young girls that were at a marriageable age. And they had not yet been married. And so they were virgins. And that would be the place where this servant realized he would most likely encounter God's choice. I think a place in discovering God's will is a circumstance of importance that we ought not to discount. For instance, I think part of the reason that Christian young people go to good Christian colleges is that they might find a spouse there. I know that Christian singles attend singles gathering, Christian single gatherings and activities for that same reason. I know that, and I don't necessarily recommend this, but I know that Christian people look on Christian online dating sites in order to connect with another believer. The place is what I'm trying to center your attention on. And I thought that perhaps I ought to mention verse 27 while I'm talking about this. Because when it's all said and done, and he discovers God's will, when Rebekah is proves to be the one, it says that he blessed the Lord God of his master Abraham. He said, who hath not left my master destitute of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I want you to note that phrase, I being in the way. I think I would interpret that as this, that he or any believer truly seeking God's mind about any matter that is already following in the path that God has at that moment led you is guaranteed that you will know his future leading and his future will for you as well. The key to knowing God's future will for you is not worrying about it, but doing what you know is God's will for you today. Circumstance, being in the place that God wants you. Second part of circumstance is time, a place and a time. There's a particular time in that the servant realized that being at that specific location, that place, would be extremely significant. That if he would be at the community well when it's busy, and it was busy at the end of the day. Verse 11 says that he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, because that's when the women would go out to draw water. So not only the place, but time is an important part of circumstance in discerning the will of God. So when these young women come to get water for their family, or these young female shepherds go out to draw water for their flocks at that specific time, that's when the servant made sure that he arrived there, and he's waiting and he's asking God for clear direction. And I believe that timing is just as vital, as knowing God's place of appointment. The timing to see it through is just as important. My third and final point is this. The importance of discovering God's will, the circumstance of discovering God's will, and thirdly and finally, dependence in discovering God's will. Here's what I mean by that. Basically, the rest of the chapter. What the servant does is he asks for a sign from the Lord. Look at verse 12. He said, Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto them that my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, verse 14, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And here, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now I want you to see something here. The servant asks for a specific sign to choose the right one. The servant asks for a specific sign to discover God's will in this matter. And the sign that he asks for is very challenging, if you understand. He's praying for God to reveal his will in this matter, but he is putting to God a very difficult request, which really indicates that this servant is being totally dependent on the Lord. He's asking that when he asked for a drink for himself, that without any prompting, without any indication from him, that that young woman would then of her own free will offer to water the 10 camels. How do I know it was 10 camels? Verse 10 tells us it was 10 camels. And that's significant in itself, because what you should understand is this: 10 camels would drink anywhere from 200 to 500 gallons of water. And if you read the narrative here, when Rebecca does that watering of those camels, it says that verse 19, a little bit before that, verse 20, she hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, and then ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all camels. Okay, so there's some distance between the watering trough and the well where she's getting a pitcher of water. How big was the pitcher? It was big enough for her to fill it with water and carry. You realize how many trips back and forth she would have to go from the well to the trough to get to, let's say, just 300 gallons of water for those camels to drink. So it was a very challenging request. When he asked for a sign in this way from the Lord, he was not making it easy on the Lord, so to speak. You know, he was really showing, I'm dependent upon you, Lord, to make this happen, because that much water would not only be a difficult task, it would probably take her several hours to do it, which is amazing. So it's an unlikely thing that any of those women that were there drawing water, that he would ask a drink from them, would of their own free will offer to draw out that much water for that many camels. I use a similar approach today, maybe not as difficult, but I was not prepared to preach this message tonight or to share these truths tonight. I had already prepared a message last week for tonight in anticipation that I wouldn't have time because of the funeral. But when I was reading my Bible, I happened to be in Genesis 24 this morning, and the Lord started giving me these truths, and so I jotted them down as he did so. And then when I was praying after that, I said, Lord, you want me to change my message? And I said, if you want me to change my message, then instead of the 50 meals that I have to deliver for Meals on Wheels, like I had to do on Friday or Monday, then Lord, get me home in time so that I will be able to put this together. Oh, normally I have about 50 meals to deliver. I had 7 meals today. 7. I was home by 11 o'clock. I get paid till 1:30. I was home by about 11 o'clock. And so I knew as soon as I walked in there and they said, you got seven meals. I said, okay, Lord, I'm changing the message. And that's how God works when you seek to follow his will. There's a second thing I want you to see that is dependence upon the Lord. Discovering God's will requires your dependence on him. Very challenging, but notice also it's controlling. But the one that is in control is not the servant, it's the Lord. Look at verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass, he prayed that prayer. All right. And then it says, it came to pass, verse 15, before he had done speaking, that is, before he even finished his prayer, what did he pray? Go back again with me for a moment to, where is it? Verse 12. He began his prayer, I pray thee, O Lord God, send me good speed. See that phraseology there? Send me good speed. What he's saying is, grant me success. He's saying, God, make it happen. Cause it to happen. His prayer required God orchestrating providentially an encounter with the right woman, with the right young lady. God orchestrating a providential encounter. God supernaturally, divinely intervening. And the point is this, that God's in control. If you want to discover God's will, he is the one that is controlling everything. You're looking to him and your dependence, which is what faith is. I use those words interchangeably. Faith is dependence upon God. Your faith is the access point to obtaining God's power, to obtaining God's supernatural working. It's like a divine dance, I would say. It's God working in and through human instrumentality to accomplish his will in earth in order to forward his redemptive plan. That's what Jesus meant when he said, when you pray, pray your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And what he's talking about is you are in partnership with God. You're praying, God, work in and through me and others as human instruments to accomplish your will in this earth so that your redemptive plan can go forward and be accomplished. In verse 40, he is explaining things, and he said, my master Abraham, when I questioned, what if the woman that I'm led to and my prayers answered, what if she doesn't want to come with me? And Abraham's instruction in verse 40 to the servant was, well, the Lord will, before whom I walk, will send his angel before thee, and he'll prosper thy way. You see God controlling? That word prosper in verse 40, the root of it means to push forward, to advance, to break out. It's a word of absolute dependence upon God, that he is guiding the whole journey, that he is going to remove any barriers in the way, and he is going to cause the mission to be successful and reach its intended end. And I think it's interesting that in verse 15, he says, you know what? Before this servant finished his prayer, there she was. Before he was done praying, Rebecca came out, it tells us in that 15th verse. Of all the women that were drawing water that evening, the very one girl that met all the criteria, She was a relative of Abraham. We're told here that she was beautiful as well, and that she was a virgin. It says in that, what verse is it? Yeah, the 16th verse. It says she was fair to look upon. She was a virgin. And then it's like a double euphemism for virginity. Neither had any man known her. She had not had any sexual intimacy with a man. So, if you genuinely seek God to know his will, I'll guarantee you that he will supernaturally lead you into his will. I remember when we were obeying the Lord to come here to plant a church. I had six kids, and I had very little money. And the Lord led me to put an ad. I don't know if it even comes out anymore. Sheepshead Bay had a newspaper called the Bay News. I didn't have much money, so I took out a real tiny ad. You could hardly read it. And I had it placed in the Bay News. And it said this. I said, I'm going to make it difficult for anyone that reads this to want to comply with it. I said, a minister, his wife, and six children are looking for a three-bedroom house / apartment to rent. And I gave a phone number. I didn't get any calls except one. And that's the house that we lived in for over 18 years. You see, God works in that way. God will supernaturally intervene when you genuinely seek his leading into his will. There's another thing that I wanted to say regarding dependence upon the Lord. Not only do I see here that it's challenging, he's challenging the Lord, you might say, but God's controlling everything. There is also him connecting with that individual, Rebecca, who is the answer to his prayer. In verse 17, this before he finishes praying, Rebecca shows up. And she is getting water for her flock. And it says in verse 17 that this servant, he ran to meet her and he said, oh, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. He asked her to water his camels. Remember, that was the prayer. If she would offer to do that, then he would know. And it says, she said, drink, my Lord. And she let down her pitcher. Gave him a drink, verse 19, and when she had done giving him drink, here's what she said, I'll draw water for your camels until they're done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, that is, whether the Lord had made his journey well, I'll tell you what, if he was wondering, he's crazy. That would have clinched it for me. I would have known for sure. Yeah, she's certainly the one. But my point is, he's connecting. He's putting feet to his prayer. He is clearly cooperating. He's not being passive in discovering the will of God. He's demonstrating movement on his part. He's taking steps of faith, obedience, you might say, to discover God's will. It's the servant stepping forward to connect with the first young woman at the community well. Her name is Rebecca, and she's the first to come to the well, and she was God's choice, and she showed up before others, even before he finished his prayer. And then this is just, I guess, the icing on the cake, so to speak. Verses 50 to 52, when he is at Rebecca's home, some reason the dad's not in the picture. He passed away, but the eldest son, Laban, He's the firstborn, I would take it. He's handling the whole negotiation, the whole matter. And in verse 50, Laban and Bethuel, that would be her mom, answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord." When the servant tells the whole story, they get it. And they recognize, yes, this is from God. So that's what they say in verse 50. "This thing is from the Lord. We can't speak good or bad or good about it. Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go." And it says that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Here is the last thing I want to say about dependence upon the Lord in discovering his will. And that is, he is always confirming it. God often gives further confirmation, listen to me, after you take the steps of faith obedience, not before. He gives further confirmation after you step out in faith, seeking to do God's will, then he confirms it. And that serves to further, as I would say, seal the deal in your heart. And that will prompt worship, which is what he does. Because that confirmation from God like that is like a sweet dew on a yielded person's heart that is seeking to know God's will. And it gives them boldness then to take future steps of faith. When God's will is properly discerned and then confirmed, you don't dilly-dally, as the old folks used to say. You don't delay. You get on it immediately. You act on it right away to see it through with to completion. Remember, they didn't want him to take her right away. They wanted her to hang around the family for another 10 days. And he said, no. He said, this is what God has shown. I want to act on it right now. And so they finally say, well, you ask her, and if she's for it, then you're good to go. And that's exactly what happened. I remember when I was being called by the Lord to plant that church in Connecticut, and he led me through Acts chapter 16, the Macedonian vision. And God showed me that just as that man in the vision indicated to Paul that he should go to, what is it, Troas, I think, or Macedonia, rather, from Troas to Macedonia. And the next verse, I think it's 16:10, Luke writes, "And we immediately endeavored to go and preach the gospel unto them." I remember when that's where God called me to plant a church in Connecticut. And then I saw that verse, and I immediately got on it. Because when God enables you to discover his will, you're to do it immediately. The chapter ends, interestingly, with them coming to where Isaac was, and he's out in the field. I'm looking at verses 60 through 67. I'm not going to read them. He's out in the field, and it says he's meditating. And where he is in the field in the evening meditating is he is at a place where Hagar had an encounter with the Lord when she thought that she was forsaken and had no water and that her and her son would perish. And then God shows her that well, and she names it by the name, the well of him who sees me. And so that is exact spot where Isaac is. He's going out to meditate. He's seeking God. He's seeking the God who sees him, so to speak. He's connecting with God's will. And when it all is said and done, the last verse says that he takes Rebekah as his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So Isaac connects with God's will, and he goes from grief to rejoicing, and he's blessed as a man walking in the will of God. Well, that's a lot, but that's all I wanted to share about discovering God's will. Its importance, the circumstance and the dependence that is involved.